Hi, Terry. Thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
I was wondering if you could share with us a bit about how you got your first professional job after your graduation.
Well, I've always thought of myself, maybe justifiably, that I was a little bit of an outlier within anthropology, even. I moved from Tampa to Washington, D.C., which is a hotbed of anthropology. And normally people will go that route and network and get established through WAPA, for example, which is there, or some of the other anthropologists. I wanted to try to create a communications and anthropology job for myself where I was doing something within some sort of mass communication realm. As it turns out, that isn't the way things worked out. But to more specifically address the question, I spent about 6 months sending out resumes and just doing a traditional old school sort of way. This was, you know, 15 or 20 years ago, answering ads and trying to be proactive with organizations, but trying to create a niche for myself which didn't exist in some sort of things. For example, I had an internship at the Smithsonian. I did not necessarily want to go back and work there because it seemed like a little bit less of a dynamic environment than I was really looking for. So I was unsuccessful in trying to get them to create a position for the kind of work I wanted to, or public outreach or public dissemination of information. In the meantime, I got a call from LTG Associates, which is an anthropological firm based partially in Washington area and partially in California, that does anthropological research, mostly evaluation, but various things. I had worked with Neil Tashima when he was president of NAPA, the National Association for the Practice of Anthropology, on a project I was doing through my grad school based on the same thing of outreach. How do we get anthropologists to more engage with the mass media and thus with the broader public as a using the media as a mechanism? And I turned that into a NAPA bulletin. They're now called the Annals of Anthropological Practice, but they used to be called the Bulletin. So I was doing that when he was president, and he kept my name on file and offered me a position that was there in D.C. working on a USAID contract. And I had another professional job, which combined two of my interests, which was travel and anthropology, with the largest travel agency in D.C. for about a year before the job actually started with LTG Associates. So that's a long way to explain how it all fell into place.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
What do you think were the key factors in getting the job?
I think, first off, it's being proactive. You have to get out there, meet people, come to meetings, follow up with people if they sit down and spend some time with you at a meeting, and just putting the feelers out. That's certainly something that a lot of people have said has been important with them. Part of it's serendipity, you know, just being at the right place, the right time, when the right opportunity comes along, and being flexible to be able to say, well, that's not exactly what I thought I was going to do, but I will try that and see how that works out. I would think to summarize those three things: being proactive, networking, and then being flexible for whatever comes
right.
your way.
Right. So networking was definitely an important part of the career.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just that when I got to Washington, I emailed Neil and said, hi, I'm here. Just, you know, and I also, my faculty at the University of South Florida recommended some folks that Irv Chambers at the University of Maryland, Bob Wolf, who was with an independent company there, where some of the folks I met with had lunch. They were very gracious in spending time with me and just helping build feelers and networks in the area.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How well do you feel that your program prepared you for the job?
That's an interesting question. I think in some ways the foundation was very good. We did a lot of research and writing, which was very helpful. In fact, one of the things I see now looking back and in being in a little bit of a different role now is writing is critical, and there are still people that really have a hard time writing well.
Right.
And it's so important if you're in any kind of job where you're communicating in general. just really goes without saying, and yet there's still some deficiencies that I've seen. So it prepared us well in that way. I think we would have been much better off, and again, this is about 20 years ago, with a deeper depth of experience with methods and statistics. Those are a lot of things that people talk about now. I was interested also in international development, and the thing that I was deficient in was not having a language. I started taking some classes and then got a different job and this and that, so I never got to be fluent. I'm semi-fluent in two or three languages, not, well, semi-competent, let's say, but never got the fluency level. So that would be something that would be very important, that our program, it was not a requirement that you had to be fluent in a second language, or at least have some competence in there. Those two things, I think, were probably key. I think these days a lot of programs, anthropology programs, are much more aware of that, and so they are grounding their students much better in, for example, computer-assisted research methods using Atlas or Nudist or some other kind of... is Nudist still around? I'm not sure, but anyway. So those are in vivo, I was thinking of, along with this. So those are things that are very helpful. Just the real practical day-to-day things that you can have on a resume. I have these competencies. And as well, just I have found for my particular niche, just general computer literacy, being able to work a spreadsheet and a database. That has really made a huge difference in a lot of the work I've done. Not necessarily it's a job requirement, but once I get the job, to have those alternate skills has really been helpful to do the job well, which is a big part of the battle.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, thinking back to when you were in graduate school, the jobs that you actually got, were they what you expected to walk into?
Probably not. I was one of those that I took this degree, I have a master's degree, because I loved it. I loved the field. I did not actually have any anthropology as an undergraduate. And then went traveling around the world and realized I'm really inside as an anthropologist wanting to get out. So I came back and went to grad school. That said, I did not then have an idea of the next step. I just took the courses because I thought it was just interesting personally to me. Did not have, I was a journalism undergraduate and had some vague idea of how to combine these. But it turns out probably what I should have done is pursued the journalism as a primary source, and then worked in the anthropology rather than doing anthropology, trying to work a backdoor. Because most of the, for example, applying at National Geographic, they look for veteran journalists for the most part, and they will transition you then into doing work of an anthropological nature rather than the other way around in large part. So no, I think that's just the nature of this business. And we talk about flexibility. If it looks good, what the heck, take it, even though it's different than what you had anticipated. As long as you're flexible and are happy with what you're doing, then what the heck.
Yeah. Would you do it differently now?
Yeah. Probably. I think I would, if I kept on that original vision of combining a journalistic and an anthropological viewpoint, I probably would have gone back, say, and worked for a small newspaper, small television or radio station, and built up my resume from that side of it, and then transitioned back into anthropology when I had a stronger journalism. But I'm not unhappy with where it turned out, and there's still opportunities to try to combine those things, so we'll see. It's still a work in progress.
Do you have any tips or any advice that you would like to share with others?
I think that you really need to, when you're in grad school, let's say midway through your, whether you're getting there, even as an undergraduate, particularly as an undergraduate, I would say even, as you see your date coming up when you're going to graduate, start a year ahead of time looking for jobs that you want to do and seeing who's hiring, where they're hiring, what sector is hiring, whether it's government or nonprofit or private. Think about what sector you want to work in. Think about where you want to live and what the job market is like there, and then try to tailor that last year of your studies to accommodate where you're going to be when you get out. So it's not, I did not do that. I just got out, moved to Washington, thought, well, there'll be jobs here. Let's just see what happens. And it more or less worked for me, I guess, in the long run, but it's not anything I would recommend people try. So it's just having a sense of what is out there. So when you're done and you still have a year, maybe you can take some outside courses. In fact, I would highly recommend people do take courses outside of their department that are closely related. And some of the research I've done, it turns out that the people who've got jobs most readily typically attribute that to a second degree or second specialty. So they're able to combine their anthropology. For example, me, I was trying to combine anthropology and journalism, but people have done a number of different specialties.
Right.
And that's the beauty of anthropology, is it facilitates all those other academic pursuits and career pursuits by understanding the culture and the nature of humanity and how that works well. So I think it's just a very good combination with another degree.
Good advice.
Good. Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.